Ares, said Ty. The salt, the grave dirt, the cold iron, it won't work on the Wild Hunt. Drew whipped round and looked up.
The Wild Hunt? She said. Does that mean Mark's here? Has he come to save us?
Don't be a fool, Ty said witheringly. Mark is with the huntsmen now, and the Wild Hunt want there to be battles. They come to gather the dead when it's all over, and the dead serve them. Drew screwed up her face in confusion. The doors of the hall were shuddering violently now, the hinges threatening to tear free of the walls.
But if Mark isn't coming to save us, then who will?
No one, said Ty, and only the nervous tapping of his fingers on marble showed that the idea bothered him at all. No one is coming to save us. We're going to die. Jocelyn flung herself once more against the door. Her shoulder was already bruised and bloody, her nails torn where she'd gouged at the lock. She had been hearing the sounds of fighting for a quarter of an hour now, the unmistakable sounds of running feet, of demons screaming. The knob of the door began to turn. She scrambled back and seized up the brick she'd managed to loosen from the wall. She couldn't kill Sebastian, she knew that much, but if she could hurt him, slow him. The door swung open, and the brick flew from her hand. The figure in the doorway ducked, the brick hit the wall, and Luke straightened up and looked at her in curiosity.
I hope when we're married that's not the way you greet me every day when I come home, he said.
Jocelyn hurled herself at him. He was filthy and bloody and dusty, his shirt torn, a sword in his right hand, but his left arm came around her and held her close. Luke, she said into his neck. And for a moment she thought she might shake apart from relief and happiness and delirium and fear, the way she'd shaken apart in his arms when she'd found out he'd been bitten. If only she'd known then, had realized then, that the way she loved him was the way you loved someone you wanted to spend your life with. Everything would have been different. But then there would never have been Clary. She pulled back, looking up into his face, his blue eyes steady on hers.
A daughter? She asked.
She's here, he said, and stepped back so that she could see past him to where Isabel and Simon waited in the corridor, both looking very uncomfortable, as if seeing two adults embrace was about the worst thing you could glimpse, even in the demon realms. Come with us. We're going to find her.
It's not certain, Clary said desperately. The Shadow Hunters might not lose. They could rally. Sebastian smiled. That's a chance you could take, he said. But listen, they have come to Alicante now, those who ride the winds between the worlds. They are drawn to places of slaughter. Can you see? He gestured toward the window that opened out onto Alicante. Through it, Clary could see the hall of Accords under the moonlight, clouds moving restlessly to and fro in the background. And then the clouds resolved themselves and became something else. Something she had seen once before, with Jace, lying in the bottom of a boat in Venice. The Wild Hunt, racing across the sky, dark clothes and ragged warriors bristling with weapons, howling as their ghostly steeds pounded across the sky. The Wild Hunt, she said, numb, and remembered Mark Blackthorne suddenly, the whip marks on his body, his broken eyes. The Gatherers of the Dead, said Sebastian. The Carrion Crows of Magic. They go where great slaughter is. A slaughter only you can prevent. Clary closed her eyes. She felt as if she were adrift, floating on dark water, seeing the lights of the shore recede and recede in the distance. Soon she would be alone on the ocean, the icy sky above her and 8 miles of empty darkness below. Go and take the throne, he said. If you do it, you can save them all. She looked at him. How do I know you'll keep your word? He shrugged. I'd be a fool not to. You'd know immediately that I'd lied to you, and then you'd fight me, which I don't want. Besides, to fully come into my power here, I must seal the borders between our world and this one. Once the borders are closed, the undarkened in your world will be weakened. Cut off from me, their source. The Nephilim will be able to defeat them. He smiled, ice white and blinding. It will be a miracle performed for them by us, by me. Ironic, don't you think, that I should be the saving angel? What about everyone who's here? Jace, my mom, my friends. They can all live. It makes no difference to me, Sebastian said. They cannot harm me, not now, and doubly not when the borders are sealed. And all I have to do is ascend that throne, Clary said, and promise to stay beside me for as long as I live, which, admittedly, will be a long time. When this world is sealed, I will not just be invulnerable. I will live forever. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. You're willing to do this? Give up the whole world of Earth, your dark shadow hunters, your revenge. It was beginning to bore me, said Sebastian. This is more interesting. To be honest, you're beginning to bore me a bit too. Do decide whether you're going to get up on the throne or not, will you? Or do you need persuasion? Clary knew Sebastian's methods of persuasion. Knives under the fingernails, a hand to the throat. Part of her wished he would kill her, take this decision away from her. No one could help her. In this, she was utterly alone. I will not be the only one who lives forever, Sebastian said, and to her surprise, his voice was almost gentle. Ever since you discovered the Shadow World, haven't you secretly wanted to be a hero? To be the most special of a special people? In our own way, we each wish to be the hero of our kind. Heroes save worlds, Clary said. They don't destroy them. And I am offering you that chance, said Sebastian. When you ascend that throne, you save the world. You save your friends. You have power unlimited. I am giving you a great gift because I love you. You can't embrace your own darkness and yet always tell yourself that you did the right thing. How is that for getting everything you want? Clary closed her eyes for one heartbeat and then another. Only enough time to see faces flash behind her eyelids. Jace, her mother, Luke, Simon, Isabel, Alec, and so many more. Maya and Raphael and the Blackthorns, little Emma Carstairs, the fairies of the Seely Court, the faces of the Clave, even the ghostly memory of her father. She opened her eyes and walked toward the throne. She heard Sebastian behind her draw a sharp breath. So, for all the surety in his voice, he had doubted, hadn't he? He had not been sure of her. Behind the thrones, the two windows flickered like video screens, one showing desolation, the other Alicante under attack. She caught glimpses of the inside of the Accords Hall as she reached the steps and walked up them. She moved steadily. She had made her decision. There was no faltering now. The throne was huge. It was like climbing up onto a platform. The gold of it was icy cold to her touch. She reached the last step, turned, and took her seat. She seemed to be looking down for miles from the top of a mountain peak. She saw the council hall spread out before her, Jace lying motionless by the wall, Sebastian looking up at her with a smile spreading over his face. Well done, he said. My sister. My queen.
XXIII. Judas Kiss. The doors of the hall exploded inward with a blast of splinters, shards of marble and wood flew like shattered bone. Emma stared numbly as red-clad warriors began to spill into the hall, followed by fairies in green and white and silver. And after them came the Nephilim, shadow hunters in black gear, desperate to protect their children. A wave of guards raced to meet the Undarkened at the door and were cut down. Emma watched them fall in what felt like slow motion. She knew she had risen to her feet and so had Julian, thrusting Tavi into Livia's arms,
They both moved to block the younger Blackthorns, as hopeless as Emma knew the gesture was.
This is how it ends, she thought.
They had run from Sebastian's warriors in Los Angeles, had fled to the Penhallows, and from the Penhallows to the Hall, and now they were trapped like rats and they would die here, and they might as well never have run at all. She reached for Cortana, thinking of her father, of what he would have said if she gave up. Carstairs didn't give up. They suffered and survived, or they died on their feet. At least if she died, she thought, she'd see her parents again. At least she'd have that. The Andarkans surged into the room, parting the desperately fighting shadow hunters like blades parting a field of wheat, driving toward the center of the hall. They seemed a murderous blur, but Emma's vision sharpened suddenly as one of them moved out of the crowd, directly towards the Blackthorns. It was Julian's father. His time as a servant of Sebastian had not been good to him. His skin looked dull and grey, his face welted with bloody cuts, but he was striding forward purposefully, his eyes on his children. Emma froze. Julian beside her had caught sight of his father. He seemed mesmerized as if by a snake. He had seen his father forced to drink from the infernal cup, Emma realized, but he hadn't seen him after, hadn't seen him raise a blade to his own son or laugh about the idea of his son's death or force Katerina to her knees to be tortured and turned. Jules, she said. Jules, that isn't your father. His eyes widened. Emma, look out! She whirled and screamed. A fairy warrior was looming above her, decked in silver armor. His hair was not hair at all, but a ropey tangle of thorned branches. Half his face was burned and bubbling where he must have been sprayed with iron powder or rock salt. One of his eyes was rolling, white and blinded, but the other fixed on Emma with murderous intent. Emma saw Diana Rayburn, her dark hair whirling as she spun toward them, her mouth open to cry a warning. Diana moved toward Emma and the fairy, but there was no way she was going to make it in time. The fairy raised its bronze sword with a savage snarl. Emma lunged forward, sinking Cortana into his chest. His blood was green like water. It sprayed out over her hand as she let go of her sword in shock. He fell like a tree, striking the marble floor of the hall with a heavy clang. She sprang forward, reaching for the hilt of Cortana, and heard Julian cry out, "Tie!" She whipped around. Amid the chaos of the hall, she could see the small space in which the Blackthorn stood. Andrew Blackthorn stopped in front of his children, an odd little smile on his face, and reached out a hand. And Ty, of all of them, the least trusting, the least sentimental, was moving forward, his eyes fixed on his father, his own hand outstretched. "Dad," he said. "Ty?" Livia reached for her twin, but her hand closed on air. "Ty, don't..."
"Don't listen to her," said Andrew Blackthorn, and if there had been any doubt that he was no longer the man who had been Julian's father, it was gone when Emma heard his voice. There was no kindness in it, only ice and the savage edge of a cruel glee. "Come here, my boy, my Tiberius."
Ty took another step forward, and Julian pulled the short sword from his belt and threw it. It sang through the air, straight and true, and Emma remembered, with a bizarre clarity, that last day in the Institute, and Katerina showing them how to throw a blade as direct and graceful as a line of poetry. How to throw a blade so that it never missed its mark. The blade whipped past Tiberius and sank into Andrew Blackthorn's chest. The man's eyes flew open in shock, his grey hand fumbling for the hilt protruding from his ribcage, and then he fell, crumpling to the ground. His blood smeared across the marble floor as Tiberius gave a cry, whirling to lash out at his brother, pounding his fists against Julian's chest.
"No," Ty panted. "Why did you do that, Jules? I hate you! I hate you!"
Julian hardly seemed to feel it. He was staring at the place where his father had fallen. The other Andarkan were already moving forward, trampling the body of their fallen comrade. Diana Rayburn stood a distance away. She had begun to move toward the children and then stopped, her eyes full of sorrow. Hands came up and caught at the back of Tiberius's shirt, pulling him away from Julian. It was Livy, her face set.
"Ty!"
Her arms went around her twin, pinning his fist to his sides.
"Tiberius, stop it right now!"
Ty stopped and sagged against his sister. Slight as she was, she supported his weight.
"Ty!" she said again softly. "He had to, don't you understand? He had to."
Julian stepped back. his face was white as paper, stepped back and back until he hit one of the stone pillars and slid down it, crumpling, his shoulders shaking with silent gasps.
My sister. My queen. Clary sat rigid on the ivory and gold throne. She felt like a child in an adult's chair. The thing had been built for someone massive, and her feet dangled above the top step. Her hands gripped the arms of the throne, but her fingers didn't come close to reaching the carved handrests. Though, since each was shaped like a skull, she had no desire to touch them anyway. Sebastian was pacing inside his protective circle of runes. Every once in a while, he would pause to look up at her and smile the sort of uninhibited, gleeful smile she associated with the Sebastian from her vision, the boy with guiltless green eyes. He drew a long, sharp dagger from his belt as she watched and ran the blade along the inside of his palm. His head fell back, his eyes half closing, as he stretched his hand out. Blood ran down his fingers and splattered onto the runes. Each began to glow with a dawning spark as the blood struck it. Clary pressed herself against the solid back of the throne. The runes were not Greybook runes. They were alien and strange. The door to the room opened, and Amatis strode in, followed by two moving lines of endarkened warriors. Their faces were blank as they silently ranged themselves along the walls of the room, but Amatis looked worried. Her gaze skipped past Jace, motionless on the floor beside the body of the dead demon, to focus on her master. "Lord Sebastian," she said, "your mother is not in her cell." Sebastian frowned and tightened his bleeding hand into a fist. All around him the runes were burning fiercely now, with a cold ice-blue flame. "Vexing," he said. "The others must have let her out." Clary felt a surge of hope mixed with terror. She forced herself to remain silent, but saw Amatis's eyes flick toward her. She didn't seem surprised to see Clary on the throne. On the contrary, her lips curved into a smirk. "Would you like me to set the rest of the army to searching for them?" she said to Sebastian. "There's no need." He glanced up toward Clary and smiled. There was a sudden explosive shattering sound, and the window behind her, the one that had looked out on Alicante, splintered into a spiderweb of mazed lines. "The borders are closing," Sebastian said. "I will bring them to me."
"The walls are closing in," Magnus said.
Alec tried to pull Magnus farther upright. The warlock slumped heavily against him, his head almost on Alec's shoulder. Alec had absolutely no idea where they were going. He had lost track of the twisting corridors what felt like ages ago, but he had no desire to communicate that to Magnus. Magnus seemed to be doing badly enough as it was, his breathing ragged and shallow, his heartbeat rapid. And now this.
"Everything's fine," Alec soothed, his arm sliding around Magnus's waist. "We just have to make it to..."
"Alec," Magnus said again, his voice surprisingly firm. "I am not hallucinating. The walls are moving."
Alec stared and felt a flutter of panic. The corridor was heavy with dusty air. The walls seemed to shimmer and tremble. The floor warped as the walls began to slide toward each other, the corridor narrowing from one end like a trash compactor slamming closed. Magnus slipped and hit one of the buckling walls with a hiss of pain. Panicked, Alec seized his arm and pulled Magnus toward him.
"Sebastian," Magnus gasped, as Alec began to drag him down the hall, away from the collapsing stone. "He's doing this."
Alec managed an incredulous look.
"How would that even be possible? He doesn't control everything."
"He could, if he sealed the borders between the dimensions."
Magnus took a rattling breath as he pushed himself into a run.
"He could control this whole world."
Isabel shrieked as the ground opened up behind her. She threw herself forward just in time to avoid toppling into the chasm that was splitting the corridor apart.
"Isabel!"
Simon shouted, and reached to catch her by the shoulders. He forgot sometimes the strength that his vampire blood flooded through his body. He wrenched Isabel up with such force that they both toppled backward and Izzy landed on top of him. Under other circumstances, he might have enjoyed it, but not with the stone keep shuddering itself apart around them. Isabel sprang to her feet, pulling him up after. They had lost Luke and Jocelyn back in one of the other corridors, as a wall had split apart, shedding mortarless rocks like scales. Everything since then had been a mad dash, dodging splintering wood and falling stones, and now chasms opening up in the ground. Simon was fighting despair. He couldn't help but feel that this was the end. The fortress would fall apart around them, and they would die and be buried here. "Don't," Isabel said, breathless. Her dark hair was full of dust, her face bloody where a flying rock had cut her skin. "Don't what?" The ground heaved, and Simon half ducked, half fell forward into another corridor. He couldn't rid himself of the thought that somehow the fortress was hurting them. There seemed a purpose to its dissolution, as if it were directing them somehow. "Don't give up," she gasped, flinging herself against a set of doors as the corridor behind them began to crumble. The doors swung open and she and Simon tumbled into the next room. Isabel sucked in a gasp, quickly cut off as the doors slammed behind them, shutting away the explosive noise of the keep. For a moment, Simon simply thanked God that the ground under his feet was steady and the walls weren't moving. Then he registered where he was, and his relief vanished. They were in an enormous room, semicircular in shape, with a raised platform at the curved end, half cast in shadow. The walls were lined with endarkened warriors in red gear, like a row of scarlet teeth. The room stank like pitch and fire, sulfur, and the unmistakable taint of demon blood. The body of a bloated demon lay sprawled against one wall, and near it was another body. Simon felt his mouth go dry. Jace. Within a circle of glowing runes etched on the floor stood Sebastian. He grinned as Isabel gave a cry, ran to Jace, and dropped down by his side. She put her fingers to his throat. Simon saw her shoulders relax. "He's alive," Sebastian said, sounding bored. "Queen's orders." Isabel looked up. Some of the strands of her dark hair were stuck to her face with blood. She looked fierce and beautiful.
"The Sealy Queen? When has she ever cared about Jace?"
Sebastian laughed. He seemed to be in an enormously good mood. "Not the Sealy Queen," he said. "The Queen of this realm. You may know her." With a flourish, he gestured toward the platform at the far end of the room, and Simon felt his unbeating heart contract. He had barely glanced at the dais when he had come into the room. He saw now that on it were two thrones, of ivory bone and melted gold, and on the right-hand throne sat Clary. Her red hair was incredibly vivid against the white and gold, like a banner of fire. Her face was pale and still, expressionless. Simon took an involuntary step forward, and was immediately blocked by a dozen endarkened warriors, Amatis at their center. She carried a massive spear and wore an expression of frightening venom.
"Stop where you are, vampire," she said. "You will not approach the lady of this realm."
Simon staggered back. He could see Isabel staring incredulously from Clary to Sebastian to him.
"Clary!" he called.
She didn't flinch or move, but Sebastian's face darkened like a thunderstorm.
"You will not say my sister's name," he hissed. "You thought she belonged to you. She belongs to me now, and I will not share."
"You're insane," Simon said.
"And you're dead," Sebastian said. "Does any of it matter now?"
His eyes raked up and down Simon.
"Dear sister," he said, pitching his voice loudly enough for the whole room to hear it, "are you absolutely sure you want to keep this one intact?"
Before she could answer, the entryway to the room burst open and Magnus and Alex spilled in, followed by Luke and Jocelyn. The door slammed behind them, and Sebastian clapped his hands together. One hand was bloody, and a drop of blood fell at his feet and sizzled where it hit the glowing runes, like water sizzling on a hot skillet.
Now everyone's here, he declared, his voice delighted. It's a party.
In Clary's life, she had seen many things that were wonderful and beautiful, and many things that were terrible. But none were as terrible as the look on her mother's face as Jocelyn stared at her daughter, seated on the throne beside Sebastian's.
Mom, Clary breathed, so softly that no one could hear her.
They were all staring at her. Magnus and Alec, Luke and her mother, Simon and Isabel, who had moved to hold Jace in her lap, her dark hair falling down over him like the fringe of a shawl. It was every bit as bad as Clary had imagined it would be. Worse. She'd expected shock and horror. She hadn't thought of hurt and betrayal. Her mother staggered back. Luke's arms went around her to hold her up, but his gaze was on Clary, and he looked as if he were staring at a stranger.
Welcome, citizens of Edom, said Sebastian, his lips curling up like a bow being drawn. Welcome to your new world.
And he stepped free of the burning circle that held him. Luke's hand went to his belt. Isabel began to rise, but it was Alec who moved fastest, one hand to his bow and the other to the quiver at his back. The arrow knocked and flying before Clary could shape the cry for him to stop. The arrow flew straight toward Sebastian and buried itself in his chest. He staggered back from the force of it, and Clary heard a gasp ripple down the line of dark shadow hunters. A moment later, Sebastian regained his balance and, with a look of annoyance, pulled the arrow from his chest. It was stained with blood.
Fool, he said. You can't hurt me. Nothing under heaven can.
He flung the arrow at Alec's feet.
Did you think you were an exception?
Alec's eyes flicked toward Jace. It was minute, but Sebastian caught the glance and grinned.
Ah, yes, he said. Your hero with the heavenly fire. But it's gone, isn't it?
Spent on rage in the desert at a demon of my sending. He snapped his fingers, and a spark of blue ice shot from them, rising like a mist. For a moment, Clary's view of Jace and Isabel was obscured. A moment later, she heard a cough and a gasp, and Isabel's arms were sliding away from Jace as he sat up, then rose to his feet. Behind Clary, the window was still splintering, slowly. She could hear the grind of the glass. Through the now crazed glass spilled a lace-like quilting of light and shadow.
Welcome back, brother, said Sebastian equably,
as Jace stared around him with a face that was rapidly draining of color as he took in the room full of warriors, his friends standing horrified around him, and lastly, Clary, on her throne.
Would you like to try to kill me? You have plenty of weapons there. If you feel like you'd like to try slaying me with the heavenly fire, now is your chance.
He opened his arms wide.
I won't fight back.
Jay stood facing Sebastian. They were the same height, almost the same build, though Sebastian was thinner, more wiry. Jace was filthy and blood-stained, his gear torn, his hair tangled. Sebastian was elegant in red. Even his bloody hand seemed intentional. Sebastian's wrists were bare. Around Jace's left wrist, a silver circlet gleamed.
You're wearing my bracelet, Sebastian observed. If I cannot reach heaven, I will raise hell. Apt, don't you think?
Jace! Isabel hissed. Jace, do it! Stab him, go on!
But Jace was shaking his head. His hand had been at his weapons belt. Slowly, he lowered it to his side. Isabel gave a cry of despair. The look on Alec's face was just as bleak, though he stayed silent. Sebastian lowered his arms to his sides and held out his hand.
I believe that it's time you returned my bracelet, brother. Time you rendered unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give me back my possessions, including my sister. Do you renounce her to my keeping?
No.
It wasn't Jace, it was Jocelyn. She pulled away from Luke and launched herself forward, hands reaching out for Sebastian.
You hate me, so kill me! Torture me. Do what you want to me, but leave Clary alone.
Sebastian rolled his eyes. I am torturing you.